Welcome to Radio C on Youth Express, recorded live from Oakland Catholic High School. This is Gabby Moran, and I'm a senior here at Oakland Catholic. Joining me today are seniors Mary Cumston and Caroline Albacetti, as well as junior Katie Connect. Today we're going to hear some really great interviews about the arts in OC, including interviews with alumna Linda Haston, as well as one from our English department chair, Dr. Dorfler, and then later on in the episode, we're going to hear some things about curricula changes across the school and all things Shakespeare.
Hi, my name is Katie Gannett, and I'm here with
Marie Gerges.
We're interviewing Gabby Means, who is an alumna of Oakland Catholic. She's a senior at NYU, and she's studying film and television. So Gabby recently wrote and got a book published about the Decade, which was a popular bar in Oakland. So for people who are unfamiliar with the Decade, could you please describe what it was, the atmosphere, all of that kind of stuff?
Sure. So the Decade was a bar that my grandma and grandpa started in 1973 in Oakland on Atwood Street. Catered to college students in the area, but there were a lot of regulars who were older. During the 70s, Pittsburgh was a blue-collar town that wasn't really interested in original music. So the Decade was one of the first places that hosted live original music before a lot of places that started doing it later. So that was a really cool aspect of the scene. Bands like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, the Ramones, Police, Cyndi Lauper, a lot of people played there at the start of their career.
So was it your grandparents who inspired you to write about the Decade?
Yeah, my grandpa and I are very close. We're probably a little bit closer than most grandchildren and grandparents are. He's one of my best friends, I would say. But we spend a lot of time together, and he tells me stories a lot about the Decade. And it makes me sad because my grandma passed away a couple years ago, and when she did, you know, I think she took a lot of the stories with her. And then I was thinking about my younger cousins and how they might not get to know the stories that I did. And so I think that's one of the main reasons that I decided to write the book with him.
When did you start writing the book?
I started writing the book the summer after my sophomore year of college. So that's 2 summers ago.
I know you're majoring in film and television, but is journalism or like writing something else you're interested in?
So my major is in film and television, but my focus is writing. I've always been interested in writing. Writing was always my favorite class at Oakland. Pre-production is like more my area of film that I'm focused in.
Okay.
So writing scripts, and but I did really enjoy writing a book, and I didn't think that was the type of writing that I liked to do. I didn't really think historical writing was anything that I was interested in, but once I got to writing it, I really enjoyed the process. So
what do you hope that readers will learn or gain from reading your book?
I hope that they'll find something out about Pittsburgh that they didn't know before. I didn't know a lot that I now know about the Pittsburgh music scene before I started writing this book. It's being sold in the Pitt Bookstore, and I think it's an interesting thing for Pitt students because a lot of them might frequent Garage Door Saloon, which is what the building the Decade used to be in. And I think that would be a funny thing for them to know, like the history of the building, stuff that they don't know about at all. And it'll be a great opportunity for people who went to the Decade to relive those memories. I think that will be really nice.
Is there like one story in particular that your grandfather told you or that you wrote about in the book that you'd want to share?
I really liked when my grandpa talked about the different people who were in the bar, and he always likes to talk about when one night Hoffa in the movie was being filmed in Pittsburgh, so Jack Nicholson and Danny DeVito were both in Pittsburgh, and they decided to stop by the Decade, and they sat in the back and watched bands while they were playing, and I think that it's really cool because my grandpa always says, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, because a lot of the stories, at the beginning of my book, I put in a disclaimer that some of the stories might not exactly be entirely factual because they're from my grandpa and he's crazy. Jack Nicholson came up to my grandpa after they were done playing, and he said, "This is a great place you've got here, Dom." And I think that's a really cool story.
How did you become interested in Saturday Night Live, and how long have you been there?
So I've been interning there since my sophomore year, the fall of my sophomore year. So this is going into my sixth semester. So this is my third year. I've always loved the show. I was always a huge fan, and I really enjoy working there. So I'm happy to be there.
As specific as you can get, how would you describe your experience as an intern there?
I really do love interning there. It's one of a kind. There's a lot, like I said, that I can't really talk about, but I've always dreamed of working there, and being able to just intern there has been a really amazing experience.
Okay, so you're graduating this year. what's your future look like? What would you like to do?
I think a lot like how like seniors in high school feel. I think that's how I feel right now as a senior in college. It's a very similar feeling. I'm not entirely sure. My dream job would be to write for a comedic TV show, but I'm not sure where yet, and I'm not sure what the exact path that will take me there is. But as of right now, I just like writing in any regard, and I like to do it in a lot of different fashions. So,
how do you think that Oakland Catholic has helped you get to where you are today?
I think that Oakland Catholic instilled me with a lot of confidence, being that it was an all-girls school, and I think that I have taken that confidence into college and then further into the workplace. I think I left high school thinking that I could do whatever I wanted, and I think in these times with what's going on politically and elsewhere, I think it's very important for women to feel that sense of empowerment that an all-girls institution can instill in you. And I think that that's something that I've always been very thankful for. I regularly see how it affected me as a person and made me the confident and determined person that I am today.
It was a pleasure to interview Gabby Means and hear about her experiences at New York University and her work as an intern at SNL, and also about her new book, The Decade, which is set here in Pittsburgh. So it's just really interesting to hear about everything that she's done, because she's such an interesting person and she's like accomplished so much.
And of course, being a part of the Oakland Catholic community, it's always a super proud moment whenever you see one of our own alumni succeeding as much as Gabby has. And the other day when I was at the Warhol Museum, I was looking through the books that they had in the gift shop, and I was really excited when I saw hers front and center, actually. So congratulations to Gabby Means. And up next, Caroline, what do we have?
So Oakland Catholic produces strong writers like Gabby because of their intensive English curriculum. Seniors Caroline and Mary interviewed the head of the English department, Dr. Dorfler, about her creative writing class and all that the course entails.
So, what tools do you personally think creative writing provides students with? Do you think it's important that students know how to write creatively as they move into college?
That's a great question. You might think that most students will not take creative writing courses per se in college, but I think that the more writing students do, the better. The more experienced they feel as writers, the more prepared they'll be for any college writing tasks.
When you first discovered that you would be teaching the creative writing class, what plans did you have for the course?
Well, I wanted students to have a chance to be exposed to a lot of different genres. So I wanted them to have a chance to write fiction, creative nonfiction, as well as poetry, and as many different kinds of writing as I could possibly expose them to. Of course, anytime you teach a course for the first time, there are always ways that you think you could improve it going forward. I had planned to have the students do more reading this semester than we've actually had time to do. It's hard to sort of shift focus from reading to writing. There's just not enough time for everything that we want to do. One thing that I've been able to do as the semester has developed is take advantage of opportunities that have arisen. So, for example, my friend who is a playwright was coming to Pittsburgh, so it worked out to be able to have a section of talking about plays and theater. We were lucky enough to have the poet from Carnegie Mellon come at the beginning of the semester. We were lucky that NaNoWriMo fell during the fall semester.
Yeah.
So I think I would really want the course, if I had the chance to teach it again, I think I would want it to take advantage of literary opportunities that were happening currently.
What inspired you to cover the material we did over the semester?
So just my own research, just trying to be tuned into the literary community in Pittsburgh and thinking about what I would enjoy and hoping that my students would enjoy it as well.
At Oakland Catholic, much of the writing students learn is academic. What do you think the benefits are of having students take time to write outside the box?
My hope is that my creative writing students would just develop a lot more confidence about their writing, that they would feel that they have something to say, and that something is worth saying, that they develop a voice in their writing, and again, that they just feel confident about any writing task that's presented to them, whether it's a memo or a research paper or a poem.
So one of the biggest projects you mentioned you have the students do is NaNoWriMo. So could you describe what it is sort of generally, and how did you learn about it? What did the students do exactly?
So I've heard about NaNoWriMo at various points over the years, and I think a lot of schools participate. I know my own children had participated in NaNoWriMo at St. Sebastian Elementary School. So I had heard about it, but I had never tried it myself. It's a program designed to support writers who really want to write a novel but can never find the time to do it. So the idea is that you set a word goal at the beginning of November and spend November writing, just intensely writing and banishing the voice of the inner editor that will tell you, go back, fix this, change this, it's not good enough. The idea is just to create sort of an avalanche of words. And that might sound a little bit silly in some ways. I think that the inner editor that we all have telling us that what we're putting down on paper is not good enough is just such a dangerous force. So we have to battle it with that avalanche of words, and just producing a huge quantity of writing, I think, helps students to feel really confident about the act of writing itself. I think that student writers have so many things to say. Mm-hmm. I was amazed by the array of voices and ideas and circumstances and characters. And
so the course has helped many students realize how exciting and fun creative writing can be. Do you have any suggestions for them on how they can continue to write creatively, even when they're no longer taking the class?
Absolutely. I would hope that the students, because I tried to force them to be involved in the literary life of the community, I hope that they would see themselves as members of the literary community here in Pittsburgh or on their college campuses or wherever they go. So I hope that they would feel comfortable if they see a sign for a poetry slam to think, oh, yeah, I can go to that, instead of, no, I would never go to that. I don't know what that is. So I hope that just some exposure to theater and poetry slams and author lectures would help them feel more confident about attending those types of events, and and I hope that they'll do NaNoWriMo again and publish novels someday, or enter contests or take another writing class.
Our last question: do you think you'd like to teach the course again?
I would love to if I had a chance.
Thank you.
Thanks, girl.
I really enjoy the creative writing class because I think it's really great to kind of, you know, just get that time to write creatively and, you know, express my feelings. I actually really did like the NaNoWriMo assignment because I liked just sitting there and writing, because I think that often we have to kind of write under this structured formula. It's nice to get a break from sometimes.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting doing NaNoWriMo. I've been like plotting out my novel for a while now, but I'd never written anything down. So this was a great opportunity for me to do something like that. And then something else we did at the beginning of the year was work on like personal essays, which I thought was really helpful, especially towards the end of the semester when I started writing my college essays. So that was very useful from the class, and I'm really glad Dr. Dorfler taught it because I had a lot of fun with her, and she is one of my favorite teachers.
As Dr. Dorfler mentioned in our interview, the creative writing course had the opportunity during the semester to meet Professor Claudia Barnett, a playwright whose production we saw. Members of Radio C recently had the opportunity to meet and interview another Pittsburgh playwright, Miss Linda Haston.
Hi, it's Katie again. On January 3rd, I interviewed Linda Haston, a graduate of St. Paul's Cathedral, one of Oakland Catholic's heritage schools. We talked about her work in the arts, especially about her work in theater in New York and other places, and also her one-woman show, Mother Lode. Can you just give us a little bit of background information, like your experience at Oakland Catholic, how you got involved in the arts?
Well, was a freshman here at, it was then St. Paul's Cathedral, and I came here with pursuing the arts in mind. So as a student here, I didn't get a lot of plays because there was really nothing that time that I could do, mainly because the majority of the school was white, and there were only four African American students in the school, in the entire school. So I decided to pursue other avenues that were provided through Glee Club, choir, and speech and forensics. And that's what gave me my training as an adult or an adolescent student before I moved on to college, etc. Also, I took business and academic because I also wanted to pursue college. And I also knew being in the arts does not feed you. So, which is why I took business, so that I wasn't ending up being a waitress. Some menial job that didn't pay a whole lot. So I had the means of going into any office. And I used to work for law firms, mostly.
So I read, like, a Pittsburgh Post-Gazette article about your, is it a play?
Yes, it's a biographical play about my mother and I called Motherlode. The first version of it was done in 2013, and it was called Without Ruth, which is my mother's name.
Okay.
And it was successful, but it also had other people in it. It wasn't just me.
Uh-huh.
And the consensus was from critics and colleagues alike, was that they just wanted to see me and me portraying my mother.
It's like a one-woman show.
Yes.
I read about education outreach. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I am the education director and teaching artist on stage. We have a program which is called the Literacy in Action Program. And we go into the schools, or I go into the schools, various schools that we choose, which are schools that are in distressed neighborhoods. Their children have an urgency. Their reading scores need to come up.
Yeah.
So I use theater and our productions to perfect the literacy in a particular school. The reading, vocabulary, comprehension, and it's stories that are either already made into plays or we adapt them. For instance, we did To Kill a Mockingbird, and we've been very successful with this program. We get funding for it, and it's free. Any school that I go into, I hold workshops regarding the production, get the kids understanding, show them a different way.
Well, thank you so much for
Absolutely.
Being with us today. In the interview, you hear her talk about how when she was at St. Paul's Cathedral, she was one of four African-American students in her class. So I asked her about how she feels about representation and whether or not she feels that some roles aren't made available to her because of her race. And she responded and talked about how she feels that she suspends the boundaries of race and just really tries out for roles that fit her. And I thought that was really interesting because I know some people wouldn't have that same perspective on it. So, yeah, I just thought that was a really interesting part of her interview.
I know that she gives back a lot to her community, which I think is really great because that's something we seek to do here at Oakland Catholic, is really emphasize that service aspect of, I guess, our lives. And I think she really shows that in a great way.
Yeah. Miss Haston's interest in theater is similar to that of OC students who compete in the annual Shakespeare Monologue and Scene Contest. This year, the contest is being held at the Pittsburgh Public Theater.
In addition to studying Shakespeare throughout their high school years at Oakland Catholic, students also have the opportunity to participate in the Pittsburgh Public Theater's Shakespeare and Monologue Scene Contest this February. This will be the third year Oakland Catholic has entered students in the event, and here to talk about it are longtime participant and OC junior Jess Berger and the Director of Education and Outreach for the Pittsburgh Public Theater, Katie Conaway.
I'm here with Jess Berger today, and we're going to talk about the Shakespeare Monologue and Scene Contest today. Jess, could you just tell us a little bit about what the Shakespeare Monologue and Scene Contest is?
Okay, so students from all over the city of Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh area participate, and either they choose a monologue or scene or both. And I believe the grades range from fourth to all the way up to whatever grade you're in high school. And you perform a scene or monologue, and the judges choose whether you're good enough to come back. And if you come back, you compete for the final list. And then if you win, you get to go perform with them on stage.
And what scene are you doing this year?
I am doing Adriana from A Comedy of Errors, Act 2, Scene 2.
Like, what kind of preparation goes into the scene?
Well, you have to look up a lot of words because we don't use them in English. So you have to look up a lot of the words, what they mean, and the context behind. personally, I just like look up the scenes, other actors or actresses that have acted them, look up how they would perform it, and go off of that in my own experience.
Like, what keeps you interested? Like, why have you been doing it for so long?
I think it's really fun in that people really don't have like experience with Shakespeare, and like you're able to like experience more of like what English literature was back like in the day. So it's really fun to just learn about it.
Thanks, Jess.
You're welcome.
My name's Katie Conaway. I'm the Director of Education and Outreach at Pittsburgh Public Theater.
What do you enjoy most about your job?
So one of the really fun things about my job is that no 2 days are really the same. It's quite rare that I'm in my office from the time I start till the time I leave for more than 1 day in a row. I have a lot of different meetings at schools, such as being here today representing the theater, perhaps attending a coaching session for the Shakespeare contest, meeting with teaching artists for different programs, and of course working on different initiatives with our board and other staff members. So one of the things I love a lot is the diversity of it. The other thing is I was a theater kid growing up. So for me, I feel very honored that I'm now in a position to deliver programming that meant so much to me as a kid. It's really come full circle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so why is Shakespeare relevant today?
So Shakespeare is really important to the public theater. We have had for over 2 decades now a program called the Shakespeare Monologue and Scene Contest. And this was started by my predecessor, Rob Zellers, who was the previous Director of Education and Outreach. And I've been running the program. This is my second year now. And the Shakespeare Monologue and Scene Contest is really neat because it encourages kids to really get in touch with Shakespeare and find out that this language is not just for old people. It's not boring. Shakespeare can be very exciting. It can be very funny. And to really have that opportunity to get Shakespeare on its feet, to perform it, to learn it, and to conquer it. That contest is open for students as low as grade 4 and all the way up through grade 12.
Just adding on, why should Shakespeare be taught in schools?
Shakespeare is timeless. So this is, what, 400 years ago, right? I think we just celebrated 400 years of Shakespeare. And the themes of Shakespeare are what we all go through every day now. It's love, it's jealousy, pride, power, greed, and revenge sometimes too. There's that darker side of Shakespeare as well. And Shakespeare wrote for the common man. The audience members for Shakespeare in his time, they were illiterate. They weren't reading his plays. They were seeing them performed live. So it's important that we find out what it was that Shakespeare was writing about, because people haven't changed. Our circumstances may change, what's going on in our culture may change, but what it is to be a person, that really hasn't changed. And Shakespeare gave us a lot of words that we may not realize, a lot of common phrases as well, and a lot of his plots and themes you can see recreated in other movies and pop culture references today.
What is your favorite Shakespeare work?
Oh gosh, I have to pick one.
Pick two.
Well, currently my favorite, I would have to say Twelfth Night, just because we're focusing on it so much at the theater. It just went into rehearsals this week, and I'm launching a lot of programming surrounding Twelfth Night right now. I'm also a really big fan of Othello as well, but it can be hard just to pick one.
Why is this Shakespeare Scene Contest important?
So the Shakespeare Monologue and Scene Contest is oftentimes students' very first introduction to Shakespeare. But to have the opportunity to access that language and those subjects early on, as young as fourth grade, is a really neat opportunity. And it also allows students to perform it and to see it performed, which is really how Shakespeare was intended. So whether or not you go on to study Shakespeare, you go on to study theater, the fact that you can memorize a presentation of whatever form, stand in front of an audience, and deliver it with confidence and be proud of yourself, that's something that everyone should be able to do.
Recently, my class, the honors sophomore lit class, read Macbeth. What do you think about Macbeth?
So we are not in the theater right now, so I can call it by its true name, Macbeth. Otherwise, we would call it the Scottish play. I'm not sure if everyone's aware, but us theater folk, thespians, are very superstitious, and it became a form of bad luck to say Macbeth within the theater. So I often really actually like that tidbit and kind of the superstition that's come around that and calling it the Scottish play. But it's also just a very interesting piece of what can happen to an individual and that series of events that goes on with Lady Macbeth and her trying to wash the blood off of her hands repeatedly. I really enjoy seeing the different ways that that can be done. It's a great, great play.
Yeah. You already touched on this a little bit, but what else do you think people get from the experience of live theater as opposed to reading through the plays by themselves?
The beauty of live theater is that it's never the exact same thing twice. The audience brings into that experience whatever has happened to them earlier in that day or earlier to them that week or in their life, and you interpret it very differently. And collecting that specific group of people, whoever's seeing it that evening or that afternoon, the energy there is completely different the next performance. Our student matinees have so much energy, and students are not afraid to laugh and to really engage with the performance, and that will play so much differently than an adult audience. Seeing something live and experiencing that with your fellow patrons is something that you can't replicate just by reading it. That's not to say that it isn't important, though, to study Shakespeare in class or to study other plays and works of drama. But that live experience is, it's really something very special.
What's coming next to the public theater?
We are in the middle of our season. It's our 42nd season right now, and we have Twelfth Night in rehearsals. Rocky Blyer's The Play is finishing up this weekend, and then Twelfth Night is going to play the end of January into the end of February. And I want to highlight our student tickets. We have a program called Hot Ticks. So for anyone age 26 and under or a full-time student, their ticket is only $15.75 all the time. Following that, we have a musical, Daddy Long Legs, Death of a Salesman, and the comedy An Act of God. So we're really excited to get started on the second half of our season. Theater's for everybody. And everybody is welcome. You do not have to want to be a professional actor to participate in the Shakespeare Monologue and Scene Contest or to attend the theater. It is something that everyone should have the opportunity to experience and to find out what they enjoy and what they like out of it. Everybody can do it. You can perform Shakespeare. You can perform in front of a group of people. If that's a fear of yours, it's something that can be conquered, and you can have that moment of satisfaction and know that you are capable of doing it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Speaking of Shakespeare, there have been a lot of changes in Oakland Catholic's curriculum in the past few years, particularly recently as the sophomore world literature classes and the junior AP English language and composition classes have started to write their research papers on new and diverse authors. This is a great thing for Oakland because it introduces a lot of new authors that students really otherwise wouldn't get to read. I mean, classics are amazing, and I loved writing my paper on Dostoevsky's The Brothers Karamazov my junior year, and it's very helpful in writing research papers to have that sort of structure when writing about classics that have been studied and spoken about for years. But it's also amazing to be able to read books that you otherwise probably wouldn't get the chance to read outside of school or wouldn't have the interest possibly to read outside of school and read about things that are going in the world that are really relevant today. Do you guys have any opinions?
When we were picking our current event topics, we all got to pick something that was interesting to us. And when you're going to do research for 4 to 5 months on a certain topic, it is important that it's something that interests you. So personally, I decided to focus on the Syrian refugee crisis and the humanitarian crisis in Aleppo.
Yeah, I think it's also especially useful for sophomores because classics are a bit dense, as Katie puts it, to try and slog through as a sophomore, especially when it's the first research paper you're writing that's really as in-depth. So yeah, like Katie said, it's great to be able to write something you're very interested about.
And also, I think it's really easy to apply some classic novels to the world today. I mean, like thinking about To Kill a Mockingbird or 1984, even, you can apply some of those themes to today's world. And I think that's a really important thing to realize as we're changing these curriculums around.
I think that's also important because they're generally American or European authors. And while those are celebrated authors for a reason, because they are fantastic writers and what they write about is still applicable in many ways today, it's also important to see writers from different parts of the world, to see their viewpoints, and I think that's something that Oakland is really promoting, globalization and trying to connect with other people out there. So I think this is a good change for Oakland.
I remember choosing Things Fall Apart. So that provided a great opportunity, but also, like Caroline, you said, we see it as we go from level to level. And this year in Dr. Dorfler's AP Literature and Composition course, we just finished reading Beloved by Toni Morrison, which is a perspective that we may not have otherwise heard of.
I also think that one more positive to the sophomores picking a current event topic is that no matter what English class you advance to, you do have to sit down and dissect very dense articles. So the sophomore starting out with, you know, going on JSTOR or EBSCOhost and using the database to find like good scholarly articles will help them in the long run, because that's not going to stop after junior or senior year. It's going to go on into college. Everything that you read, it does need to be dissected and thought about more deeply.
And like we talked about whenever we were discussing your interview with Gabby Means, Katie, it's all a part of how Oakland, and particularly through our English department, builds an incredibly strong foundation for students to go out into the world, be able to analyze thoroughly not just literature, but news and media of all sorts, as that is an increasingly relevant skill in our world. And it's something that I think we're all very grateful to have as we are coming to the second half or the end of our time at the OC. So that concludes this episode of Radio C on Youth Express, recorded live from Oakland Catholic High School. Special thanks to Mrs. Rinkus, our moderator, and the Youth Express team. We welcome your feedback and input. Please address comments to info@youthexpress.org. You're listening to Youth Express, all youth, all the time. For more of this podcast or others like it on demand, find us on SoundCloud or stay tuned to youthexpress.org. Youth Express, catch the future.